praying for the city and the province and really for the world. And I kind of imagined, I was holding the monstrance with Jesus in it. I imagined that Jesus' laser is zapping down on the city, and zapping down with grace and with love on the city. But one thing that it did for me, like the moment up in the air, looking down and praying, it was a real change in perspective for me, and I began to see in a new way. And one thing I saw was that the west side of the city, which we like to consider maybe the dangerous side, whatever that may be, the west side and the east side are not that far apart, and they don't look that different. And there's one point to that, as you're flying over the city, we passed first over Holy Family Cathedral, and then the next big building we flew over was the Regional Psychiatric Center, which is part of our federal prison system. And the cathedral and the psych center are not that far apart. And most of what I felt as we did that was really just a great deal of love. Love for all those down below. And that new perspective helped me to see what was true as we did that. And John Calvinist says that all wisdom really consists of two things. It's knowledge of God and knowledge of self. And prayer helps us to see both. Prayer shows us what's true. And you may know that 3 weeks ago, of course, when the world felt very different, we started a prayer homily series for Lent. And even though things are very different now, prayer is still essential. And prayer is still one of the great calls of Lent. And so we are going to continue this focus on prayer. And for anyone who may have missed the first few homilies, you can find them on our website if you want. But the overall theme has been the importance and the dignity and the holiness of consistent prayer. And that is to say, not worrying about emotions or lack of emotions in prayer, but the importance of just faithfully showing up every day, making that time for prayer faithfully. And then we've been looking in light of the readings of what is it that God does for us when we show up. And today what we're taking from these readings is that as we do this faithful prayer, consistent prayer, prayer shows us what's true. And it shows us what's true of God and of ourselves. And for the sake of this homily, though, I'm just going to focus on that second part of how prayer shows us what's true of ourselves. And to see that, we need to ask, well, how don't we know ourselves? What don't we know of ourselves? And I want to suggest two things. And first of all, first thing we don't know, there is goodness and beauty and strength in us that we do not know, that God sees, but we don't see. And secondly, there is sin in us, and there is capacity for sin in us, that often we don't see. And the cathedral and the prison are really not that far apart. The knowledge of God, knowledge of self, and prayer shows us hope. And then to look to the readings today, first think of the first reading. Did David see himself as a future king? When he was living as a peasant, watching over the sheep, the youngest brother, did he see himself as a future king of Israel? I guess we don't know if he did. But we know that God did. When God looked on him, he saw the future king, a man after God's own heart. We're thinking of the gospel now, with the man born blind. When he was out there as a blind man begging, trying to survive, did he see himself as the kind of person who would stand up to the religious leaders of his day, and who would speak truth to them when even his parents were afraid, and the one who would come to see the Messiah? Now, I don't know if he saw that in himself, but we know that Jesus did. When Jesus looked on him, he saw that. And he saw goodness, beauty, and strength that he likely didn't see in himself. And so this miracle that Jesus worked in him was so much more than just his sight. And then also for ourselves, in the second reading, you have Paul saying to us, you are light. Once, he says, once you were darkness, but now in Christ, you are light. And when you think of yourself, is that what you think of? When God looks at you, do you think God looks at you and says, that person is light? Or do you think that maybe the darkness of your past still clings to you in some ways? We know that when God looks on us, God says, you are light. That's what God does. That's what God sees. And so time and prayer helps us to see that. Time and prayer shows shows us what's true of ourselves, and that we're capable of far more than we realize. And just to experience that this week, I'm going to invite you to pray two prayers this coming week. And first one to pray is, God, help me to see myself as you see me. God, help me to see myself the way you see me. And second, one prayer that needs to go with that as well is, God, help me to see others as you see them. And especially people I struggle with, especially people I dislike, God, help me to see them as you see them. So we are capable of more good than we know. But also, along with that, we are more capable of sin than we realize. And again, looking to the readings, we can look to the Pharisees here. The Pharisees saying to Jesus, well, we're not blind, are we? And imagine at this moment that you have the Messiah, God incarnate, right in front of you. The blind man sees it, and you don't. So really, who is the blind one here? And for ourselves too, well, how can we be blind to our sin? Well, one way I think we can do that is by justifying sin that we already do. And really, I think we all have an amazing capability to justify sin, to rationalize, well, really, who does it hurt? Well, God doesn't mind. I'm just speaking the truth. Or it's not my fault. They just make me so angry. And I don't know about you, I guess, but I am an expert at finding reasons to excuse my sin. And the second way we're blind to our sin is we can become just very, very habituated to it. And we've become so used to it, we don't see the evil of it. And I would encourage you, you can think honestly of a sin that you know you struggle with now. You can call that to mind now. I'm sure that there was a time when you would have recoiled from that sin. And you would have said, how could anyone ever do that? But now, well, it's not that bad. I'm still a good person. And a couple of examples if you need to help with this. And one that's first not so serious, but the example of swearing. Now, the first time you say a bad word, you feel it. Like something just happened to you. Something wrong just happened to you. But if you do it again and again and again, there can come a point when you don't even notice what you're doing. Or secondly, and this is a much more serious example, but what about an affair? Now, most people don't go from a committed relationship to cheating just overnight. But how can that happen? Well, it starts maybe with a flirty comment to a coworker that you find kind of attractive. And at first it feels dangerous, and maybe that's kind of the thrill. But if it keeps on happening, it starts to feel normal. Or maybe a touch that goes on longer than needed. And you're pushing the limits. But then in time, well, maybe it's not such a big deal. And then there are the conversations and the texts and the time spent together. And step by step, we get used to things that we would have thought impossible. And maybe we don't realize how dark the room has become. So why do we need prayer? Faithful, consistent, showing up prayer. Because prayer shows us what's true. And just to illustrate that even more, I want you to imagine you've got sort of a chart with an angle line going like this, starting at the bottom, then going up high over here. And the top of this line is the very best that you are capable of. The top of the line is us being generous and praying regularly and heroic and loving and serving others, serving our church, serving our community, us at our very best. And the bottom of this line is us at our very worst. And most of the time, all that we see, all that we know, is a little bit in the middle. I do these good things, I do these not so good things. We don't often see the whole picture. And where does the enemy want us to be? Where is the dangerous place to be? Well, one place that is dangerous to be is to see just the very bottom. When the lies that can hear that you are worthless, you are dirty, you are unlovable, those are lies that we can hear. Dangerous place to be. But another very dangerous place to be is to see ourselves only at the very top. Think that I am the best, and thank you, God, but I'm not like all these other people doing all these other bad things. So if we see just our good and are blind to our flaws, thinking, well, But we're not blind, are we? And we don't even see it. So those two extremes, dangerous places to be. Often we live just a little bit in the middle. But then where does God want us? Well, holiness means seeing that whole picture. And what I mean by that is if you read the saints talking about themselves, it's really eye-opening. Because we know with these saints that they are doing great things. We see them living up at the top. But what do they say about themselves? A lot of what they say about themselves is, without God, I am nothing. Or think of St. Paul who says, I am the least of the apostles, not worthy to be an apostle. But this knowledge is not a knowledge for the saints that brings depression and hopelessness. But it's a truth, it's a wisdom, it's a self-knowledge that brings humility and compassion and understanding. So it's about seeing that whole picture, is where God wants to bring us and where prayer can bring us. And I expect in these days that knowledge of ourselves is going to be stretched. And we are going to see for ourselves and for others goodness and beauty and power and generosity that we never realized. But probably also, we're going to see selfishness, impatience, and fear that we never knew. So let's let prayer show us what's true so we can choose what's good. And now to close with another challenge for you. And last week I gave you the challenge to read John chapter 9. That was the gospel for today. And for this coming week, that I'm going to challenge you again to read John chapter 11. That's the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And that's the gospel for next Sunday. So John chapter 11. And with this call to committed prayer, I'm going to challenge you to read John chapter 11 every day. And there may be some days that you read the whole thing all in one sitting. There may be other times that just one moment will grab you. Just let that happen. But spend some time, John chapter 11, every day. And I expect that after 7 days of reading it, you'll find two things. And first of all, I think you'll be amazed